you got to know what you don't know.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know. You never know what you don't know until you know it. And then you're like, oh, no, I didn't know.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims from HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me today, as always, is my co-host Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. How is it going today, Donna?
Ho, ho, ho.
I didn't ask you what you were. I said, how is it going?
Supposed to keep this clean. Can't be like our normal conversation.
Just in that little term, you bring up what we're going to talk about today, which is our annual, I can say annual, even though it's our first time, our annual 2015 annual gift giving guide for HIPAA compliance officers.
So now you're kind of committing me to have to come up with it again in 2016. Dude, it'll be you.
You caught that. I'm glad you caught that. Yeah. So I'm giving you some more work there. Put it on your calendar. Jeez. So we're going to look at a few things that would be awesome gifts to give to your HIPAA compliance officer. And these are kind of out of the ordinary things. As we talk about them, you'll kind of see what they are. But Donna made sure she put together something that is, honestly, if you can provide these few things, we have a list of five, but if you can provide these five things, or even most of these five things, you would make your compliance officer so happy.
Any. Just pick any. Any.
Any one.
Something. All right.
Yep. And so, and most of these don't cost you anything. Not all of them, but most of them.
There's some cost.
They'll cost you something.
This is not like the Black Friday sale. So don't go there.
No. Well, I mean, one of them, of course, I don't want to give them
away. These are not homemade gifts.
No. But some of them are just more of a conscious thing, not a dollar thing.
Yeah, it's cost.
So, but since we're talking about money, we'll jump into number one.
Yeah. So, money, honey.
So the number one, and these are not in any particular order, but the number one thing that you could give your compliance officer for 2015 is a line item budget for compliance and technology.
Yeah. So everybody makes these budgets, and technology and compliance gets buried in somewhere. And they need to be visible line items so that we're showing that we're making that commitment and thinking about it and making a plan for it. We go in with so many groups, and you know, back in our IT company, we do annual reviews of their technology plan. And the first time we go in and do it, everybody's like, why are you doing this again? After that, they learn about it, and now it becomes a thing that they're like, when we do our meeting, I want to make sure we talk about these things. Make sure you put it on the agenda. And they'll send us stuff in July for the meeting we're going to do in February, because now they're planning their technology and they're starting to think about it. So if you plan the technology, then that would also help you plan cybersecurity. And if you put a line item for HIPAA compliance things that we need, so we know we're going to spend some money on these things, then you can build a plan.
Now, when you build a budget, who would you say that you need to get involved in that process? Because I know the answer to this, but I want to kind of cover it, because sitting down and coming up with a budget is going to take more than just the decision maker really sitting down and saying, hey, we're just going to throw this number out there.
Well, that's why you know, in order to do a budget, normally you look at what kinds of things are we going to plan for doing. That's what budgeting is all about. And in order to include technology in the plan, you have to have a clue of what kinds of things you're going to do. So you need to have your IT people involved in what is our technology plan. And you have to have, of course, the compliance officer involved in what kind of things do you need. But the big point is, by agreeing to put it in the budget and have those line items, just having that technology meeting and working out a plan. And you know, a lot of this comes from your risk analysis and risk assessment too. It's in your plan that you need to do these things. Mm-hmm. So sit down and review that report with your IT provider like David Sims and your compliance consultant like Donna Grindle, and you've got your risk analysis. So sit down and use it and say, what are we going to budget for and plan to do in all these things that we have in our risk management plan?
Mm-hmm. And I guess that can kind of go back to our episode where we talk about, you know, eating an elephant and taking small bites. This would be a good time to look at that while you're budgeting is, you know, what big elephants do you need to address in 2016? And how are you going to do that in a way that's not quite so overwhelming?
Yeah. One bite at a time.
Which brings us a pretty good segue to number two, which is the number two thing you can do for your HIPAA compliance officer for a gift-giving idea would be to schedule some time for that person to be able to do some things.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, so many people tell me that the way that it was decided who's going to be the compliance officers, oh, yeah, by the way, you're the HIPAA officer. As somebody walks by your office, that is the way that they get it assigned. Or you're the one that keeps asking all these questions, so now you're the compliance officer. I actually had somebody tell me, yeah, that's the way I became the security officer because I kept asking questions. Isn't this a HIPAA thing? They're like, okay, you seem to be most interested, so now you are. But if you just throw it in there and you don't make it, yes, according to the law, it must be part of someone's job description and they should be assigned to do it. But that doesn't mean that, you know, there's five other job descriptions and it goes on the bottom of that mm-hmm. list so that it doesn't get time allocated. At least put it in the top three things, you know. So I'm the practice manager. I'm also the backup for some clinical stuff because I used to be a nurse, and I am the HIPAA compliance officer.
Right.
Okay. And then I'm all these other things. So at least to narrow it down to some being aware of this is a priority and I need help with some of these other things, or I need to move some of these other things off, or I need to take somebody that actually has the ability to allocate time to it and make them be the compliance officer.
Instead of it being an afterthought, which is typically what I see.
Right. Well, you know, I've been in rooms before and, you know, we tell these stories, but we, you know, change the names to protect
the guilty.
I've been in meetings before, you know, and there's three people sitting at a table and I sit down and I say, okay, so who's the privacy officer and who's the security officer? And they all look at each other and they say, well, I guess you're the security officer. I guess I'll be the privacy officer. What do you want to be? You know, so it's like doing a improv
draw
skit.
Straws.
It's an improv skit kind of thing. You go back in the next time, you get different answers. But if you don't have it firm, then clearly it's not going to be somebody's, you know, going to worry about it. And mm-hmm. If you don't worry about it, you know what happens. And there's so many people that feel so bad. I mean, we've been in meetings and where people break into tears. Am I going to jail for this because I just can't do it? And they really are conscientious and want to be able to do it, but they just can't figure out how to go about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so making sure that whoever is your compliance officer, give them a gift of sitting down and saying, how can we make sure that we have time allocated for you to do these things so that it's not always an afterthought?
Right. Great idea.
So that's a gift. And of course, in the budget, you might have to, that's part of the thing you might have to allocate is, you know, getting them some help. So
you can budget some time.
Yeah. So you budget the time, you budget the money, you find a way to get somebody else to do some stuff, or you get them some help in some other way. So yes, we're going to allocate time, but we can only allocate this amount of time, but we'll hire somebody, oh, I don't know, like Cardin Compliance to help augment your time. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And on the topic of getting help from other avenues, the number three thing that you can do for your HIPAA compliance officer for gift giving would be a commitment from all departments to jump in and help out.
Right, because if it's just this one person walking around begging everybody, will you please pay attention to me? I'm trying. But if you get every department, so you get clinical or you get development or you get, you know, every part of the business needs to be involved in this. So that's why I love going in and working with some of the groups that we work with. And you've got the salespeople and the developers and the, you know, the accounting. Everybody thinks about it. And because it's part of the, you know, it's woven into the culture, which we talk about, culture of compliance, then, you know, it becomes where things actually will happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like a rule that, oh, well, you're responsible for that. You make it happen.
And in the smaller practices, it really should be a commitment from all the staff. And I say that instead of departments, because a lot of times there aren't departments when you know, five or six people in a practice. So getting that commitment from everybody, from the top all the way down, because I see it both ways, and I'm sure you do too. In some practices, I walk in and you can't get the doctor really on board. He wants compliance, but he wants somebody else to do it and tell him when it's done. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to have any part of it. And nor does he want to follow it. and then, because this is his practice, and he can do what he wants to do. Yeah. I say him, but it could be her. Mm-hmm. And then I see the other side of it, where you have a doctor who really wants it done and wants it done right and wants it followed. But then you have the person who's been with him for 14 years who says, I'm just not going to do this. And, you know, in all actuality, they probably should just get rid of them. But, you know, it's tough to get rid of somebody who's they're a good worker and they've been there for a long time and all this, but they just don't want to take the extra steps of having to log into something twice or to document something or to, oh, now you got to flip faxes over. That's just too much trouble.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's just the little things like that. So I see it from both ends, but yeah, you know, getting everybody involved and saying, you know, look, we all understand that this is not convenient stuff. Sometimes it may not even make sense to do, but you have to abide by what the law is for, you know, the career choice you picked.
Well,
whatever that might be.
Well, you look at business associates and all of a sudden they're like, wait, what? We got to be HIPAA compliant. We didn't even, that wasn't part of our plan. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Or you need to change your business plan. So, you know, it's one of the things we do these training portals, and we have built into it. We wrote up a script for an executive. You know, it needs to be an executive. And then also for the compliance officers, we have them record a video that is about introducing the concepts, let's say, of the compliance program, to say, we believe in this from the top down. Here are the compliance people that should always ask. Here's who you go to. And the script is, you know, hitting all these things. And we'll have people that are the ones who are supposed to read it. I mean, I should have had a guy recently going, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be able to say this. This is not me. I'm not going to say, you know what? This is a general outline. We're not saying that you have to do it. But what we want you to do is to get across these points. And the points are, everybody should be involved in this. But the reason that we have them record these things is so it's not just something written. It's something that someone is saying from the top down and reminding everybody anytime they log into those portals, those things are sitting there to play again and to see, remind them that this is across the board. Everybody should be involved.
And that's a perfect segue to number four, the HIPAA Compliance Officer Gift Guide for 2015. Number four would be training. And we talk about this a ton.
Right. And we generally talk about training the workforce, but this is more about training for your compliance officer. Because that's also part of the law, is they should be trained in what they're supposed to do, because how can they implement your program if they don't know?
Yeah, and they need a different level of training than the staff as well.
Right.
I mean, they're the go-to people, which is, you know, honestly, that's a big reason why, in my opinion, it pays for them to have a compliance company at their beck and call, so to speak. Because, you know, I mean, you got two choices, really. You can either try to learn everything yourself, or you can have the speed dial set to, you know, card and compliance, so that when somebody asks you a question or something happens, you go, hey, I don't know, but I can find out pretty quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, to me, it just makes sense to do that.
Well, and you know, it's like you said, they need a different kind of training. Mm-hmm. And to me, I always divide the kinds of services and help that we provide people into two things. There's the compliance program itself, where you are actively training people, and the things that everybody thinks about with cybersecurity and all that's going on. And then there's the work of it. The work of it is managing that program, because it's not just going to happen. Okay, well, I've decided here's our policies and procedures. Bye-bye. I'll worry about that once a year. You know, it requires regular care and maintenance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, I think before we've alluded to the, if I never change the oil in the car, it will eventually stop driving.
Yep.
And I have family members that learn that the hard way. But if the engine goes, you know, there's things that happen. But it takes regular care and maintenance of the compliance program, because you're documenting and proving that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And you're also auditing and doing assessments. And remember, oh, I'm going to add a new location. I should do a new risk assessment. I'm adding a new provider. I should do a new risk assessment. I'm making a major change in the way that I do business. You're supposed to do a new analysis to make sure everything's covered in the process. So in order to do all of these things, you've got to have an understanding that makes you recognize, hey, I've got to do X. And that requires training, because, yeah, you can have us on your beck and call, but if you don't even know to call us when something happens, you know, that's the key, is at least understand when I should care. And and we can train you as you go, but it's not effective.
Or as you've told people before, you got to know what you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know. You never know what you don't know until you know it. And then you're like, oh, no, I didn't know. And unfortunately, that's not a defense anymore. You know, used to, you could have the affirmative defense. Yes, it happened, but I had no idea that that was a problem. You know, yeah, they got rid of
that. I still
do
that. I still do that when I get pulled over speeding. I didn't know it was a 35 zone. My car only goes 60.
I love how you said, when I get pulled over, not if.
Yeah, it's like a breach. It's not a matter of if.
It's when. It's matter of when. So, it's the same kind of thing. You have to have training so that you know to pay attention to the speed limits. And, you know, some people are just not going to do it, and those are not well suited for being drivers of the program.
Well, you definitely don't want to treat it like that. And in that, you don't want to say, well, it's not a problem unless I get caught. You don't want compliance to be that way.
Well, you know, that's classified as willful neglect. I am choosing not to do it. Mm-hmm. And under willful neglect, they don't even have to negotiate with you. They can just go right to fines and penalties and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it starts at 50 grand.
Yeah. The minimum they have to fine you is 50 grand. So even for somebody small who says, I'm not going to do it because I'm too small, or I'm not going to do it because that's too much effort, it's inconvenient. Okay. Well, if anything happens, the minimum, and by law, they're required to fine you at least 50 grand, at least. So
talk about not being convenient.
Yeah, I know, really.
Write that check out.
Yeah. It's not going to happen to me is not a really good plan.
Yeah, that's a syndrome that we talk about.
Yeah.
The it won't happen to me syndrome.
So get some training so that you'll get beyond that it won't happen to me, and you'll start to understand this is much bigger than what you believe it to be. You know, it's like our tagline. It's not about compliance. It's about patient care. And it's also about caring for your business. Mm-hmm. So I don't want somebody to get thrown into being my accounting person that doesn't know anything about accounting. There's no way you would do it. You wouldn't have somebody do your taxes that knows nothing about doing taxes. Unless, of course, you're in that willful neglect group. But if you have a business that's worth millions of dollars, you don't say, hey, by the way, new guy, you're also going to be our tax accountant. But that's what happens with the compliance officers. You ask way too many questions about whether or not we should do that in taxes. So now you're the tax accountant. And that's essentially what happens. So get the person trained, but in real training. And often they say, well, they get training, but it's a free webinar that they do while they're having lunch and people are coming and asking them stuff.
Now, this is kind of a curveball question maybe, but there seems to be a lot of small businesses nowadays that outsource a lot of things. And of course, IT is one of those. Do you see there being any outsourcing of compliance? And is that even possible?
Well, it's a question. Yes, it's a curveball, but one that I often see and hit right back to the pitcher because sports metaphors, I like them. The issue is, according to the law, you have to give the compliance officers, whether security or privacy officers, the ability to implement everything. They have to have the authority to implement this across the board, the entire organization. They also have to have the authority to sanction your people and to decide those sanctions. So if I develop a sanction policy for your business and I decide this is what you're going to do, and then I am authorized to sanction from the owner of the company or the CEO or whatever, all the way down to a volunteer, and I get to decide those things, I don't think you're going to be happy with giving me all that control. And that's how I hit it right back to him, because that's the amount of control that a compliance officer is supposed to have. And that's why what we do is we become the backup plan. We become the staff of your compliance officer, kind of. You know, we're the coaches. And that's why we call it our coaching program that we have is, you know, we're the coach of the person that's really playing the game for you, which is your compliance officer. They're in charge of managing the game, and we're their coach. We're their advisor.
Okay.
So that's why they need training. They need practice. You know, they need real world examples and those kind of things. And invest in training for your breach team or your incident response team, your IRT, what they call it these days, so that you have this whole thing of encompassing training on the work of compliance, not just implementation, you know, the actual, I'm going to make sure that I protect this data and all this other stuff. You have to have the plans and the procedures and the acknowledgement of things that might be going wrong because you don't know what you don't know.
That's right. So we talked about budgeting. We talked about time. We talked about getting a commitment from all the departments or all the personnel, depending on your size and stuff. And we talked about training. And then the last one we want to talk about is giving the gift of software and tools in order to help do all these things we just talked about.
Yes. And we've talked about this over and over, and we've interviewed people. You know, Comply Assistant tool is something that helps you manage and automate some of the things to remind you, and we build into it the questions you're supposed to be asking. But if you don't have the software, you're just making it up on your own. So it only makes it harder.
And it's like any other tool or software. You know, you have to have a calendar to remind you of when things are coming up or when somebody's going to walk into the door for an appointment or when you should be somewhere. So you have to have that calendar, or you have to use email to communicate. So there's, you know, you have all these other tools that you use in your business, and having software and tools to do compliance is just, you know, it just makes sense because it won't get done. Just like I tell people all the time, if it's not on my calendar, you forget it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there. I won't be available, whatever the case might be. If it's not on my calendar, it's not going to happen. It's the same way, I think, with compliance and using these software tools.
Oh, yeah, because it's just like when I'm working on a project, and if I don't have a checklist, right, I forget things, partly because of, you know, I shake my head and I'm like an Etch-a-Sketch. I don't know, but it just wipes everything out. And for those of you who never used an Etch-a-Sketch, you need to try it just so you can have the fun of it.
It's the precursor to the iPad.
Yeah. Two little dials. But overall, if I don't have the reminders in place and I'm going to do something once a year, for example, anything that you do once a year, you're not going to remember what you're supposed to do. You have a manual, you have a checklist, you have a document, you have a remind, something that tells you, A, it's time to do it, and B, what it is I'm supposed to do. And if you don't have those, either it gets overlooked, it gets done halfway, not complete, or even worse, you just totally do it wrong. Because, you know, somebody, last year we did it this way. This year we're going to do it that way. You know, I go in and I say, let me see your risk analysis for the last 5 years. I'll get five different versions of things that are not remotely the same. And they, if you dig into it, it has the same information, but they don't even know that it's the same information.
Yeah. Well, in our business, that's what we call standard operating procedures, you know, SOPs. You know, we, because you never know from year to year who's going to be doing the same. You know, I might have a different person handling, you know, doing backups or, you know, doing a remote service call or something like that. And so if I don't have a standard operating procedure, then every time somebody comes in the door, it's going to be done differently. Or, you know, every time somebody decides, hey, it can be done better this way, they're going to change the way they do it. And the procedure is not going to get changed. And then next thing you know, nobody knows what's going on and nobody's doing everything the same way.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than that in IT is you walk in and no two computers are even remotely set up the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just, well, so-and-so set that one up and so-and-so set that one up. And, you know, this one we got from HP, that one's a Dell. This one, this guy made it.
Well, we can walk in, you know, from an IT perspective, I can walk into a client that I just got as a client and I can look at their network and their systems and I can tell you almost 99% of the time, I can tell you how many IT providers they've had over the past 5 years.
Yeah,
just
real
by
quick.
Looking at things.
Real quick. Yeah. Or the lack thereof. You can also tell that because if it's all off-the-shelf stuff that somebody just ran down to the local store that had computers on the shelf and bought some, and it was whatever was open at the time or who had a sale.
Yeah, and that always ends up costing you more money.
And they bought all the service plans with them, but they never used them. So to me, having a plan and having the software and tools that let me control and implement the plan, because again, all we're asking for is it to be in the top three things of my job, then I need those tools to help me manage all those things that are going on, because HIPAA compliance covers your entire business. I mean, there's not really, unless, you know, there's hybrid entities and all these other things and where you have an entire compliance department and portions of it are handled one way and another way, and it gets very complex. But if I don't have one of those environments, and those environments generally at least have a compliance department, you get down to the smaller environments, which, you know, you and I usually work with, and you don't have any way to control it across the entire entity without some sort of software and tools. But on the flip side of that, don't just go buy something. Don't just go pick something. It's kind of like, you know, I am a computer person, so I'm going to go buy you a random laptop and give it to you for a gift. No, it's not going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was on sale. I thought you would like it. Thank you. I appreciate the thought.
However, really shouldn't have.
However, I will never be able to use this to accomplish any of my tasks. So don't make it a surprise. Make it a well thought out decision, because again, it's going to run your business. And, you know, all the things that we talked about, having the line item for compliance and technology and dedicating the time to do it and having commitment from the entire company and getting the training for the individual that's supposed to be doing all these things and giving them the tools they need to do the work, because it's not something they're sitting there doing all day, every day. And even if it is, they still need the tools, because all of this is the backbone of your business.
Mm-hmm. And don't be the person, because I've seen this, but don't be the person who has their compliance officer decides to, you know, go to another practice or go get another job. And you're sitting there going, I have no earthly idea
yeah.
what I should be doing around compliance because this person did it all and yeah. nothing's written down.
Or they have a whole bunch of folders with documents in them. And, you know, I've sat down with groups where I go in and I say, well, show me this policy. And they're going in and out of folders trying to find the one that they think is the one that, you know, there's no index, there's no cross-reference, you know, it's randomly there. And so-and-so did that in 2008. And then we did this over here. So I got to go look at all those folders.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's there, we don't know who did it and when, but you know, a good system would document that automatically. I don't have to remember to do it. And you can see that they did nothing. So if you're not going to use it, don't even ask for that present. It's like, you know, I don't spend much time in the kitchen, but I'm going to give you a nice KitchenAid blender.
The cool thing about those tools is it can prove you're doing stuff.
Yes.
But the bad thing about those tools is it can prove you're not doing stuff.
Yeah, I actually had a guy one time that it was at an expo, and I show him all this stuff, and it's really cool. And I show him the section that shows you the most recent activity, and he goes, well, that'll show him when I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do all this stuff. I want it to do it for me. Oh, God. Okay, bye. You know, just wasted 20 minutes of my time. So definitely, though, that is our gift-giving guide.
Yep. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So now you know what to give your compliance officer for Christmas. So that's our show for today. And as always, I thank you for listening. And I'll also ask if you'll shoot on over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review and an honest review. You don't have to lie, but we know it's going to be 5-star. So... and share this out on your social media outlets. We even allow you to share it out multiple times.
Yes.
You can do it 10 times a day if you want to.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Send us a picture of the fact that you shared it out. That'd be awesome. Email that in to us.
Oh, then you'll believe it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I need documentation that you shared it out on social media.
Our systems will provide it, David. Automatically.
I know, but I'm trying to get some. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. So,
you can also visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. You can even ask a question right there on our homepage, and we might feature it on a future episode. So remember, for Donna and myself, this is our last podcast of the year. We'll see you in 2016. And don't forget,
ho, HIPAA, ho, ho!
HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.